The Depores Pages Homilies. These homilies are a production of the Depores Pages. You can find all our podcasts at thefriar.org. The Friar, FRIAR.org. You can go to our website, or you can subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We are beginning to shift our focus now to the end of time. We are beginning to think more completely about what awaits us at the ultimate judgment as we come to the end of the church year. And one of the ways in which we come at this is by looking at the end of the Old Testament, these books of Maccabees. The Maccabees were an interesting family. Their name literally means hammer, and in a way that describes well what their purpose was. They were like a hammer beating away opposition. The time in which they lived, the reign in which they lived, was a time where there was great pressure, both in a political sense, with the expansion of a Greek kingdom, on the one hand, but also in a religious sense, between those Jews who had been part of the exile and had adopted kind of a culture and a way of life that was more Greek in its way of understanding, and those who lived the Jewish way of life by remaining in Judea and holding on to the traditions of the Jewish religion. And so much of the period of time that we see, both just before Jesus, maybe about a century before he's born, and into the period after he is born, is kind of the result of this tension between both societal pressure, whether or not to live completely the Jewish life, or to make some concessions to the culture of the day, on the one hand, and whether to live fully and completely the law of God. And this tension continues even into the period of time where Jesus lives. The interesting thing is that the Maccabees not only were fighting against religious oppression in a way, a hammer against the Greek culture, but they were also not so nice to people who didn't want to embrace the Jewish way of life. They were like a hammer to them as well by forcing them to adopt the Jewish law when they gained power. The gospel gives us a picture of a way of presenting religious life that denied things that we could not see or touch. They were, in fact, quite focused on this age. And so the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in a supernatural afterlife. And as often the case, when something is new and is being presented experientially, the temptation can be to mock it, to simply make fun of it, which is kind of what they're doing in this gospel. They're saying, well, let's take a ridiculous example of someone who has seven brothers and who, in fact, marries and they die without children, and here's what the law says, and you say they're going to live forever, and now there's seven brothers and one wife, and who is she going to be with, and all this kind of thing. It's an argument to the extreme. What does this mean for us as we approach the end of the year of grace, the liturgical year, the end of our church year? Well, I think it's this. What's the reason we follow the Lord Jesus? What's the reason that we hold out our way of life? And when someone disagrees with our way of life, do we seek to persuade them by the witness and power of our own life, or do we mock them? Do we simply try to cast aside what they think, what they believe? Or do we look at the quality of our own life as one that follows Jesus with such fervor that the way of life itself is attractive. That the way of life that we live draws others to ask about our faith, draws others to inquire about the way that we're living, draws others to want for themselves what they see that we have in our relationship with God. For that's really the way in which Jesus went about his mission. He lived an authentic way of life. He spoke with authority. He sought out the lost and the broken. He presented the law in a way that made it compelling. He didn't get caught up in the letter of the law. He was able to present clearly the intent of the law, which was always to help one grow in holiness. Rather than ignoring tax collectors and sinners, Jesus sat with them and gave them an example of how much it is that God loved them and welcomed them back into their faith. What is our relationship with the law? Is it, in fact, what we see in the first reading, where the dedication to God is so strong that these brothers and their mother give a powerful witness to their belief in God, regardless of the consequences in this life? They will trust in God not because they simply will follow the law for the law's sake, but they will follow the law for the sake of God and for the sake of their relationship with God so that they can live forever with him. Jesus invites you and me to this very powerful connection, this powerful relationship that lasts forever. And he asks us to live this life so fully, so completely, and so convincingly that others will be inspired to join us as well. Not because they are forced, but because they choose the relationship with God because of the power of the force of his love, which enables us to choose freely to live his way of life.